I mean, I remember when I watched Alvin Ailey there, and Alvin Ailey was adamant that he didn't want his company to come to South Africa whilst there was still apartheid, and Nelson Mandela had just become president, and Alvin Ailey company came to perform, and it was just an unbelievable moment. I remember watching a play called Water Carriers that was created by a company from Reunion, a company called Theatre Talpo. I remember watching Jerry Mufokeng directing Ken Tembe's The Suit. I remember Janice Hanneman directing The Casual Four, which was just such an amazing piece that was done. I remember watching Siyabonga Twala and Tumi Shombanja in a play called Turkish Delight. You know, watching Tumi Shombanja again and Johnny Babuzano in a piece called Bounces. I remember seeing Craig Fymond doing a piece by Eric Bogosian called Talk Radio. You know, a production of Waiting for Godot that I was in myself. We directed by Marilyn Van Rennen. You know, I got to play Estragon in that opposite Russell Savadier, who played Vladimir. I remember seeing the work that Christopher Kindo and Adele Blank and their amazing company Free Flight, the work that they did in that space, a piece that had Max Papo, which was about Keep Working, that played there. And in those memories, I then am so much influenced or motivated to think that the next 6 years should be about the celebration of the cosmopolitanness of Joburg, the basket of stories that are in Joburg, for us to keep theatre alive, to keep theatre relevant. We've got to really put, for lack of a better way of, but you know when they say your nose on the ground, it really is. I can't think of a clever way of saying, you know, and it's that. And and one of the things also that I'm wanting to see there is the absolute mentorship of the young content makers. It is my biggest passion to mentor the young playwrights, the young directors, the young choreographers, the young set and lighting designers and sound designers, and people who don't get mentorship are in a complete enigma for me, because in mentorship is just the most logical thing that needs to be done to pass the baton to the next generation of people that will create. And in the 9 years I spent at the Market Theatre, I mentored 45 young directors. And you do that, you don't have to, you know, and I always say there's a big difference between mollycoddling and mentoring. Yeah, when you mentor, you challenge, there will be tears, and you allow young people to grow. And you say to a young person, you said you want this year, it is, run with it. I need to have to see something that tells me that you put a lot of thought in it. I love the idea to have a room that has a collision of an emerging voice and a seasoned voice. It just, that makes my heart smile. And so you will see a lot of that, of young directors and young writers being given, we're going to create programs that are going to celebrate the emergence of the new story and the people who are bringing us the new story, and support them to hone their voices. That's for me.
That's your dream.
That's what I wanted.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That sounds like the ultimate dream.
Yeah, because I mean, Greenland, in 15 years' time, the youngsters will be calling you Brapumla.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You like it or not, the youngsters will be going to Papunan, and somebody will grab you and you're sitting with friends and having a drink and say, hey, Papunan, I'm at the roads, I'm being generous, I've been reading your stuff, but I would love to have a coffee with you. It is important you meet that young person, because 50 years ago you were that young person. You know, it's like when I see somebody hooting like mad and you realize they're hooting at a car with a big red L sign, and I just think, oh, that's, if this is not amnesia, then it's something else. Because you were just driving that car the other day. We've got to leave the young and support them and be frugal with the little funding that we have, but use it. Not having great funding should not be a stifler of the possibilities of things that should come and immediate. And I want to be the artistic director that goes to boardrooms and sit with people in the corporate world and pitch ideas that we want to do. And to celebrate this joy, this city. And you look at my responsibilities at the Bramfontein Theatre, the Soweto Theatre, the Roodepoort Theatre. You look at the different pockets of the city that are there, the different constituencies that are there, and we need to just make sure that we go to that periphery, speak to people, look for words that will, and yet at the same time, I'm wanting to create a place that can open in Soweto Theatre and go to Roodepoort and go to Bramfontein and look at these theatres together. The ecosystem of the Joburg theatres to see them.
It's more of a synergy.
Yes.
No, that's awesome. So I wanted to find out, you touched on very briefly something to do with the relevancy of theatre as a culture, as a subculture. How do we, obviously what you just outlined there sounds like a good way to start going about it. How do we make, how does theatre regain or dust off that element of cool? Because to the youth, as well, I mean, obviously, this is going to be in our lifestyle section, so using the lens of, you know, a very young reader stumbling upon this kind of thing. What makes theatre cool?
What makes theatre cool are artistic directors who go out and fund young people that write in that space and produce that work. It's as simple as that. You just got to, and what makes theatre cool is allowing the emergence of those stories that are young, that are finding, that are, you know, I've got a 17-year-old to make work that I think my 17-year-old son can sit and watch because it's speaking, and I have been sort of like doing a lot of that, even in my 53 years, you know, and I'll see it, you know. The last play I got to direct, which was called The Brother's Size, I was driving around, I think, with Kendrick Lamar's albums in my car and looking for the right sound for the piece, because the piece was young, was hip and young, and it needed. And I've listened to that, to Jay-Z's Black Album, going back to Run DMC, to Tupac and whatever. And I knew when I read the play, this play is not a play that has an underscoring of jazz. It needs hip-hop. And I go to young people and say, and get, you know, it just, and I'm not saying that young people only come to the theater to watch hip-hop things. They watch all sorts of things. But it is just about understanding what is it that drives the young and put it on stage and not be scared to get the young people to create it and be there and mentor. And I always say, again, people who know me will tell you that James always says a good mentor is the one that knows that there's a lot to learn from a mentee. When I sit with young people see things, people can go, oh, what do you mean? Say that again. I go, geez, lovely, let's try that.
Your knowledge.
I have never been precious. It's the one gift I have. I'm not a precious person at all. When I'm on the floor with people and we're creating a piece, you know, I'm so receptive to spontaneity or to people saying, James, I went home last night, I read this section again. This is what I'm thinking. And I go, show it to me. And I go, oh my God. And you know, if it's not collaborative, it's sad. The days of directors who are godly in the room, God, are boring and dead and sort of so yesterday. You know what I mean? And I'm being an actor myself. I've been directed. The directors I love who have directed me are directors who have said to me, James, I don't feel about this. And I've learned from them to team, open up, not be a hoarder of things. Open up and say, and you know, and I work a lot with young people, and very well with young people, and even tell them, don't call me Project, my name is James. I don't want, because those things make you feel like a castle with a moat around it.
Those kind of stuff.
No, I don't want that. Yeah, you know, I know already you see that I'm older than you, and I know there's
a respect, reference,
yeah, yeah, and I, you know there's a respect coming my way, but let's not get into that space. I can't direct you and keep calling me Bob James. It's not gonna work. You know, and so, and people who have worked with me would tell them that what I say is what I've done working with them. Just at least find it, wave it, look for it, and for me that is just the sign of true leadership. When you lead, you are receptive to thoughts, and your job is to mush them together, make them work. You know, and we've just come from this calamity that we were dealing with, the bleakest time that the world has ever experienced of COVID. But what was so challenging in theatrical spaces was it questions the idea of leadership around theater. And as you know, I just kept pushing during those times, and I knew what I had to adhere to. I knew what I was liable to or for. And make theater churning productions, and people came to see them, and these are spaces that are open because taxpayers pay tax to keep them, and we owe it to that to the main shareholder, who's the taxpayer, who keeps these spaces going to make them relevant and unique, and to make them the continuum of the South African voice and a story that is, as I said earlier, that is constantly evolving. You know, and we are the gateway of that. You know, here's the story. You know, and as I said earlier, we remember in theatre, we make stories that are in the now, we make stories that are aspirational. And so
it's all encompassing.
Yeah, you know, and you know, and let's just go out of our way to make the best theater we can make, and to bring in the best actors in the spaces, the best director, and commission the best writers, and just, you know, I firmly believe work with the best, and when you do, you know.